We left off in Daftes Tosas Dermasko V'i, where Tosas points out that the suffix of Ones and Ratzon really is not a suffix Hashokha. After all, because in the case of Ones, there should be a kol, and therefore in this particular instance, Dileka kol, Ratzon is considered to be the road. Tosas says if that's true, so therefore even in a case of Sfeika, that should be Aser as well. After all, shouldn't we argue that the possibility of Ones is considered to be Kaman Dilesadomi? So Tosas answers the name of the Ri that the Rov of Ratzon versus Ones is not a Rov Gomor. It's only considered to be that which is a Rov Derabanan. Tosas writes in Kedushin it's a Rov Geruah. It's not a Rov which is a potent, powerful Rov. And in such a case, the Makom Sfeik Sfeika, sure. Tosas comments the same thing is true when it comes to Sugi and Kedushin and Dapay. There the Gemara mentions the mission of a Tino of Shinimtsa Vitzad Ha'isa. And the Gemara tells us that Rov Tinokos Mitapchin, the Machlokas you saw between Rashi and Tosas, exactly the detail of what Mitapchin means. Either they're tummy or they come in contact with an Isa, but that is considered to be an example of Rov as well. So Tosas comments that also is not considered to be an absolute Rov. Baharaya in Sarfnal of a Satruma. You wouldn't absolutely, definitively state that this Isa is tummy b'Toras Vadai. And if it was Truma, you would not be allowed to burn it because there is the possibility that the Truma is still Truma Tahora. So therefore, this is considered to be a Ruba Drabanan. So therefore, the Gemara is willing under these conditions, if it's a Sfeik Sfeika, then we'll assume that the Cheskas Kashrus, the Heter, in fact, remains. What exactly does Tosas mean by a case of Rov, which is Eno Gomor? It's Rov, which is only Drabanan. So Pnei Yeshua comments in our Gemara that there is a counter Rov. Even though in Achinami it's true that Ones Yesh Lo Kol, and in such a case, now that there is no Kol, we would assume that Rov is considered to be the Ratzon, but Pnei Yeshua writes, but there also was a Rov to the contrary. There also was a Rov Kenegdo, that Rov, Benos Yisrael, Eno Mizanos Baratzon. After all, to assume that it was absolute Ratzon, also that's against the Rov. So therefore, the Pnei Yeshua writes that you have Rovs that are competing with each other in opposite directions. So in such a case, therefore, this is only considered to be a possibility of Rov Derabanan. That's the Chiddush that the Pnei Yeshua writes. Again, according to Pnei Yeshua, you would have to argue the same thing is true when it comes to the case of Kedushin. There also, the Gemara has Rov Tinokos Mitapchim. And yet, Ein Sof Levas Hatshurumah. So if Tosus means that there is considered Al-Pedin to be Rov Kenegdo, that's difficult in light of that Sugi in Kedushin. Perhaps what Tosus means by its Rov Sheino Gomor is something which is very different. Not that there is a competing Rov, but very simply the following. Normally, as we discussed in the last year, when you deal with a case of Rov, we're dealing with an empirical or a statistical Rov. If it's a Rov at the Isa Kaman, that certainly is true. That means that the domain is very limited, Tisha Kanuyos, and of the cases at hand, we see that in the vast majority of cases, this is true. In the minority, this is the case. That certainly is an instance in Rov at the Isa Kaman, where the Rov is before you. And even if you have a Ruba de Lesa Kaman, where the domain is an expanded one, but even so, you're dealing with an empirical or statistical Rov. No? Rov Nashim Letes Yalda. Most women give birth after 9 months. So in such a case, it's not that you're dealing with a fixed number of women in front of you, and you have to make a determination, but nonetheless, that statement is something which is a Rov Mevurah. That's something that empirically is tested. These Rovs that you have in the Gemara, the case of Ones versus Ratzon, or the case of Rov Tinokos Metapchim, seems to be a very difficult Rov, not a different type of Rov entirely. It's not considered to be a Ruba Disa Kaman or even a Ruba Delesa Kaman, but rather it's considered to be a Rov which is based on Svara. It's a Rov which is an intuitive Rov. It's a logical Rov. No, presumably, if there would have been an Ones, so we would have heard about it. There's some call. Something would have happened. So too, when it comes to Rov Tinokos, right? It's not that there are a set amount of youngsters in front of us and we see that some are doing A and some are doing B, and therefore we definitively state that this Al-Pidin is considered to be a Rov. It just means that there is a general tendency, no? That Nistama, that the kids are not careful what they touch, so it's very possible, it's likely, it's logical to assume that they came in contact with Isa, or they came in contact with two Mizrashi rites, and therefore that's considered to be the Rov. That's the Chiddush that Tosas writes, that if you have a statistical Rov, an empirical Rov, a Rov Mevurah, so in such a case, then absolutely, then Midaraisa Hokanacha HaRov. Here, though, is no such Rov in this case. It just means that Min Hastam, Ones Kol Yisle, or it means Min Hastam, Rov Tinokos. So in such a case, Tosfos writes that midaraisa, who says that's considered to be legitimate rov? After all, the whole makor of rov is the case of acharav and lahatos, an instance where there's an absolute rov. You have rov dayanim, for example, where two say chayiv, one says potur. Tosfos writes, as he mentioned, lashon b'vakama, there the miut is mamish k'manda lesadami. That's the model midaraisa of hochen acharav. Here, where we just assume that it's logical to presume that mistama this occurred, that Tosis writes is a rov which is enam avur, and in such a case, enachinami. And in that instance, we don't say that the miut is kamandal esadami, and therefore it's relevant for the issue of sveik sveika. To use the terms that we've been employing in the previous shiurim, we pointed out that rov, according to the chachamim, right, is not just simply a loch of niyug, but that's a loch of birur. Rov is machriya. Rov is mevarer. What, according to the shita of Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir assumes it depends. If it's a miyut hamatsui, then the rov is mevarer. If it's a miyut she'en hamatsui, so that's what the Gemara points out in Nida. Even Rabbi Meir agrees that chayshin lemiyuta, if it's a miyut hamatsui, if it's a miyut she'en hamatsui, so certainly that is not the case. No? Why is that true? Because Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that the miyut is command to isadami, and therefore, it's not that the suffix is absolutely resolved. The suffix is bimkoma omeid. The fact that Holkan Acharov is Lacha Niyug, and then you have to view the broader context, concepts of Chazaka, for example. If it would be a Miyut Shein HaMatzli, certainly that's not the case. Perhaps that's the Chiddush here at Tosfos as well. That if you have an instance of what Tosfos calls a Rov Gomur, a Rov Chazak, so in such a case, that is Mevar according to the Chacham, that's Makriya. Then we assume that the Miyut is considered to be Kamanda Lasadami. When you're dealing with this type of weakened rov, you're dealing with the case of rov mitapchim, or mistamif was the case of onus, there should have been a call, and presumably therefore this was ratzon. So in such a case, that is not considered to be mevare, that's machriya. That simply is halach of nihub. And therefore, if you can couple that with additional sveikos, so therefore inachinami, the issue of suffik and sveik sveiko is still relevant. Perhaps that's the chiddush of Tosfos within these different types of rov. The rov Eino Mavura that Tosfos mentions is a rov which is not rooted to Issa Kaman or Lesa Kaman rov Mavura, but rather it's a rov which is rooted in Svaritzim. Tosfos points out the following raya to assume this is true, right? The Sugyan Kedushin and Afei, that after all, you can't argue this is an absolute rov, Midaraisa, because if that's the case, we should assume that Sarf Navasa Truma. And therefore, that indicates that it must be that Midrabanan, we assume, that this is Cheskas Tuma, Truma Tumea. However, we resume the Chumra that's true, but not the Kula of Sarf Lavasat Truma. That also is an interesting Chiddush that Tosfos points out. But if you're dealing with something where it's absolute Rov Mavura or Midaraisa, in such a case, Sarf Lavasat Truma. But if you're dealing with that which is only Durabanan, so the Chumra, right, one cannot go ahead and consume the Truma, but nonetheless, Sarf Lavasat Truma. Certainly not. One has to be concerned that maybe the Truma is Truma Tahora. And therefore, you're not allowed to be Soreif Truma Tahora. So this is a very interesting Chiddush, that if you're dealing with that which is only an Isser Derabanan, the halacha would be the Ein Sof and Love Issa Truma. There is a known piece that the Brisker Rav has, it's found in the beginning of Avos Chametz HaMatzah, where this is true at times. This is not always the case, that when you're dealing with an Isser Derabanan, the halacha would be the Ein Sof and Love Issa Truma. It really depends. Sometimes yes, and sometimes no. After all, the Mishnah tells us in Sachim, and Afir Aleph Mudbeish, it's the following Chiddush, the various different Isurim of Chametz on Erev Pesach. So the Mishnah quotes, for example, the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that Ochlin Kol Arba, for the first 4 hours of the day, one is allowed to eat Chametz. And V'tolim Kol Chamesh, the fifth hour, Tolim. And V'sarfim B'tchila Sheish, at 11 o'clock, that's when one is sorry. So what exactly do you mean by tolin kol chamesh? What exactly do you mean tolin? So Rashi writes the following. Tolin means that eino ochel, already at that point in time, beginning with the fifth hour, you're not allowed to eat the chametz as nisra achila. But what does it mean, tolin? So Rashi writes that lisro eino tzarech. You're not allowed to eat, but you do not have to burn. In other words, chametz at that time, at the fifth hour, it's asr b'achila. It's mutter bahana. In such a case, you cannot eat, but there is no mitzvahs biur at this point. Good? Can you burn it? Of course you can burn it. No? Tolin just means that lisrof eino tzarech. That Chiddush of Rashi is somewhat lavdav, because normally speaking, when the Mishnah uses the term tolid, it means you cannot do A, nor can you do B. Let's assume, for example, you have truma, where there's a suffix, whether it's truma Torah or truma Tamea. One cannot eat, but at the same time, you cannot burn. Tolin means that you're at a deadline. According to Rashi here, lavdav, it just means that ka'in tolin. You can't eat, but at the same time, you don't have to burn. There's nothing wrong with burning that chametz. Good? So the Brisker Rav points out just the following Yiddish. When you look in the Rambam understood this Mishnah very differently. Tolin must mean that there is some chametz that although it is asur b'achila, one is not allowed to burn as of yet. What can that be? So the Rambam gives you the example of truma. Let's assume, for example, you have truma, which is chametz. So what do you do? So, ochlin kol arba, the first 4 hours in the morning, one is allowed to eat it. Right? B'shah shishish, at that point, you can burn it. B'shah chamishis, so that's the mid-ground. It's asur b'achila. However, it's still mutter bahana, so therefore you cannot, as of yet, burn this chametz, which is truma. That's the Lashon HaMishnah of Tolin. It means one is not allowed to eat, but one is not allowed to burn. After all, truma has kedusha, and until the chefze becomes nesar, one is not allowed to be sorry for this truma. So therefore you have to wait until the shah shishis, you cannot do so. The shah chamishis. Good? So the Rambam understood, no, the Lashon HaMishnah is very meduya. That Tolin means, ein ochlin, ve ein sarfim. Obviously, it's not referring to your average piece of chametz, it's referring to truma, for example, that which has an inherent kedusha. But then the Biskrop points out the following issue. Why should there be a difference in terms of truma between the fifth hour as opposed to the sixth hour? After all, both are only derabanan. The chametz will become nesar midaraisa at chatzos. That's what Tosus writes. If there's a mitzvah tashvisu, ach b'yamarishon tashvisu implies that the chametz is nesar. But midaraisa before chatzos, there is no iser at all. So both shah chamishis as well as shah shishis is an iser drabanan. Yet the Rambam tells us that you cannot be sore the chametz, the shah chamishis, only the shah shishis. Good? So the Brisker Rav points out the following chiddush. When it comes to this halacha, this isur d'rabbanan, chametz and pesach, one has to distinguish between the isur gavra as opposed to the isur chefza. Why is it that chametz is asur ba'achila already b'shah chamishis? Is that halacha in chefza? That midrabbanan, this is already considered to be nesar? This is already chametz of Pesach? Certainly not. The Gemara says that the reason we refrain from consuming chametz b'shoch hamishis is simply because of toa b'yom hamuna. That since our clocks are not so precise, it may be a cloudy day, we're going to make a mistake, and it's going to be later than we think. So therefore, as a safeguard, the Chachamim said that already b'shoch hamishis, there's nisra achila. You can't call this chametz, which inherently is nesar, at that particular point. After all, it's only also because of toa b'yom ha'onan. That's nisar gavra, that's not nisar chetza. Masha'in kein, when it comes to the shah shishis, that the Gemara declares is an isar chetza d'rabanan. Now, chametz midaraisa b'chetza becomes nesar chatzos. The Chachamim had a two-tier isar d'rabanan. Number one, that the chametz becomes nesa, the shah shishis at 11. Number two, coupled with that, toa b'yom ha'onan means already at the fifth hour, one should refrain from achila. So that's the chiddush that the Brisker Rav comments, that shah chamishis, according to the Rambam, is just the nisr gavra of toa b'yom ha'onan. Shah shishis is where the chefza of chametz becomes nesa. And it's very meduyuk in the Rambam, because the Rambam writes that if a person will eat chametz during the shashishis, the Rambam writes the person is chayiv malchus mardus. He'll get malchus d'rabbanan. The Rambam only writes it as far as shashishis is concerned. The shah chamishis, even though there's an isra achila, the Rambam writes that there's no malchus. So that fits in very nicely. that b'shacham yishis is just an isser gavrav toad yaman unan, but al pidin the chametz is not labeled b'chetzes machalos asuros kein chametz b'pesach. And in such a case, if a person will eat it, he's violated the siyug, but he hasn't violated the inherent isser of chametz for Pesach. That is only true when it comes to shashishis. And therefore, enochinami, Rabbi Hira's distinction that b'shach hamishis there's nisr achila, but the chametz is still mutter b'hana. Mashenkin b'shach shishis where the chetz is nesar, it's nisr hana as well. So therefore, if you want to ask yourself the following question, you have chametz that has an inherent kedusha, truma. At what point do we assume that the chetz is already nesar to the point that it's not considered to be me'abe truma through sreifa? So that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. That is only true b'shash ishis. When the chametz b'chetz becomes nesar, then sarf lavasa truma. The fact that there's nesar gavra of toa b'yamamunan, however b'chetza, the truma is not nesar, and therefore one would not be allowed to burn it at that point. You would be debasing the Kedushas HaTruma. No, and that's exactly the Chiddush, the way the Rambam understands the Mishnah. So according to what the Briskrov formulates, it's a Chiddush, that the halacha of Ein Sarf Lavas HaTruma, right, really depends, right? If you assume it's halacha in Chetza, then yes, Sarf Lavas HaTruma. When it comes, however, to in Isser Drabanan comparable to Abiyam HaMa'unan, in such a case then, Ein Sarf Lavas HaTruma. No? Those are the two halachas that Briskrov mentions. Right, so therefore, in our context as well, if you're dealing with that which is an absolute rov, which is mevarer, so in such a case, enochinami, in that instance, we will assume al pidin definitively that this in fact occurred, and therefore, that would allow even, for example, sof lavas hatruma. But here, Tosus writes, you're dealing with the case of a rov she'enu gamur. You don't have an absolute rov. So therefore, the most one could say is that's halach of nihug. The safek really is bim komomim. Maybe this is truma tamea, but possibly it's still truma tahara. Because this is not an absolute rov. So in such a case, that would not allow one to be sorry for truma. That's comparable to a safek of toav yom hamunan. That we don't assume that the chefetz is absolutely nasa, but rather one is obligated to refrain from eating. So if you have a rov gamur, in such a case, enochinami, that would be true. If you have a case where the rov is rov she'eno gamur, it's rov gerua, it's rov she'eno mavura, it's only mistama, so therefore enochinami, the safek still presents itself. One has to be noheg l'chumra, and that nihu, gataras gavra, that would mean that it's asr b'achila, but at the same time, in sarf l'lov, and such truma. That's the Chiddush of Tosus regarding that type of rov. At the end of this Tosus makes the following ha'ara. This we'll have to see in Amud Beis, a lengthy discussion. And Shita Mukubet says, but Tosus raises the following, that isn't there still a sfeik sfeika? Even in a case of Eishes Kohen, or even in a case of an Eishes Yisrael, chusi baskevo shenov yamecha? Why? Because isn't there the possibility of a sfeik muchaseitz? Our Gemara just introduces the issue of Taftav, named Taftav, and Onus versus Ratzon. Isn't there another variable? That maybe the reason that Pesach Pesach was simply because of a physical injury, and it wasn't a Jerusas Ish at all. So if it's a Safek Muchas Eitz, we have a Sfek Sfeka. Right? First, one possibly Muchas Eitz, and in Tzimtzilomar Jerusas Ish, then maybe it was a Taftav, or maybe it was Bonus. No? So both in Eishes Kohen as well as in Yisrael, you still have a case of Sfeik Sfeika. So Tosus comments that no, the Gemara completely ignores the possibility of Muchas Eitz. Why? Because after all, if she will come forward with that Taina, that's meaningful. However, that did not happen. Good? We can understand why she didn't come forward with the Taina of, right, Nenasti. Or the Taina of Tachtav, Nein Tachtav. Because Tosus says, that's a Gnayula. To admit that she engaged in a Maisa's Nus, but it was before Erisin. Or even to admit that Nenasti has an element of a Gnai. But simply to say Muchas Eitz, that we would expect her certainly to come forward. The fact that she doesn't do so, so therefore we don't even consider that to be a legitimate tzad something. That's the teret that Tosus gives. This is relevant for what we discussed earlier, and that is there a need for a sfeik ami sapeh? Whenever you have a sfeik, as Tosus already pointed out, it has to be beis shemos. It can't all be shem echad. Right? Tosus said before, for example, why don't you say sapeh ones? Nimtim slomar ones, so therefore, pitu iktana ones. What was the answer? It's all the same sapeh. It's all the same chaloshem ones. We'll have to discuss this at length and test them with beis. Good. What is an indicator as to whether these two sfeikos are in fact one or whether they are absolutely independent? So one possibility is the requirement of a sfeika hamisapech. No? Can you begin your argument in either direction? In the case of taftav and onis and ratzon, the Gemara's example, absolutely yes. You can say sfeik taftav eno taftav imtim slomar taftav sfeik ba'onis. Or you can start with the onus ratzon issue. Im tim tzilomar onus ratzon, even if you'll tell me im tim tzilomar ratzon, shema ein tafta. No? So therefore the suffix can be phrased either with taftav or onus and ratzon. In our case of Tosus' kasha, that certainly is not true. Right? You could say the following. We have a suffix of drusas ish or a suffix of mufases. And in Tinsilomar Drusas Ish, then you can argue, but nonetheless it was still Ba'ones, or it was Ein Tafta. That would work. But the Sveik Tosus cannot be flipped in the opposite direction. Let's start with the Ones Ratzon case, no? In the case of Eishes Yisrael, the Tosus discusses, she shouldn't be Asrael HaBal, because maybe it was Ba'ones. And in Tinsilomar that it was Ba'ratzon, then what? You have to come up with a case that it was a drusas ish beratzon, that still she's muteras al habaal. So how does that work? No? Either onis ratzon, im timtilom aratzon, muchaseitz. Muchaseitz is not, right, a further qualifier of ratzon. You can't formulate the sfeik in that fashion. You have to start with the suffix drusas ish, the suffix muchaseitz. If you're going to start with onis ratzon, you're not going to get beyond the first suffix. No? That's what the Shittim of Etzis points out. Dera Maskalaod, that this kasha Tosus is no kasha, because this doesn't meet the mark of sfeik at all, because it's not a sfeik amisapeh. It's all within the same direction. No? Once you come on to imtim silomar ones, fine. Once you say imtim silomar ratzon, you're stuck. You can't say the woman was mezana baratzon, but what? But it was a muchas eitz? Certainly not. The most you can say is, right, in tachto. So apparently you see from this Chiddush Tosus as well that there is no such requirement of a sfeik amisapech. Now that was Rabbi Kvenger's issue, the beginning of Tosus. When Tosus says we don't consider ones and piti tana onesu to be a sfeik, was that because it's all shem echad? Or was it simply because of that would not be a sfeik amisapech? That was Rabbi Kvenger's sapech. No? Pashup shan nehemshech Tosus. It seems clear, we'll have to talk more about this in Amud Beis, that Tosus does not require a sfeik amisapeh, because that you don't have in the case of muchaseitz. The Gemara continues here in Daf Tes Amud Aleph and tells us the following, that to me, Amar Rabbi Elazar, does Rabbi Elazar really maintain that in a case of Pesach Pasuach Neman Ostralov, how can that be? The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Ain Isha Nesera Savala El Al Iske Kinoi Vestira. All of a sudden, what? There's a tiny Pesach Pasuach. Pesach Pasuach is insufficient. The only way that you can create an Isser is Ayde Kinoi and Stira, Sota. So the Gemara answers, not necessarily. Right? That comment of Rabbi Eliezer that tells us Iske Kinyan Stira is not necessarily coming to exclude the possibility of Pesach Pasuach, and that was the Chiddush we discussed earlier where the Gemara says because Pesach Pasuach is Kishnei Dim Dami. Without Shnei Edim, then you have to come on to Kinyan Stira. But if there are Edim, you don't need Kinyan Stira. Hu Hadinami, Rabbi Elazar's Chiddush is that Pesach Pasuach is comparable to Shnei Edim Dami. So Tosus here, Damaskul Mi, is very bothered, right, by this kasha of the Gemara. What does the Gemara think? Rabbi Lazar says that Ein Ishan Esera Sabali Iske Kinu and Stira. Only Kinu and Stira can create an Iser. Otherwise, not. What about the whole concept of Shavi Nafshe Chatzicha Di Surah? The Gemara just quoted that, no? From Kedushin HaSamach Ha'e. Ha'om Elisha Kidashich. No? A man says that I married you. So what does the Mishnah tell us? Who? Asa B'Krovoseo. Shavi Nafshe Chatzicha Di Surah. So of course he can create an Isser. There was no Kinui, there was no Stira. So how can the Gemara even have a Havamina to assume that only Kinui and Stira? And he is not Naaman. The Gemara said, "My Kamashimlan." It's a Mishnah Mufureshes. But certainly the Baal is Naaman. Now, so Tosus writes a pretty incredible Kiddush. Tosus says the problem here is the following. In the case of Pesach Pasuach, there are no Eidim. Without Eidim, it's impossible for the Baal to create such an Isser. And Tosfos says the following, Afilu ra adam shizinsa. Even if the husband will see with his own eyes the shizneishas ishizinsa, not just at time of Pesach Pasuach, but there were not Eidim that were present. So Tosfos writes, lohaisen eseres alav. Because ein davarsha pachos mishnayim. And what about the Mishnah? The Mishnah obviously is talking about a case where there are Eidim. When the husband says, Om Elisha Kidashti, what did he mean? I married you, Beino Beino, with no one watching. No, obviously. He's maintaining that he married her in the presence of Eidim. So then we assume a Shavi Nafshe Chatzicha Di Surah. We're taking his word for it. Right? He says he married in the presence of Eidim, so she's asur to him. Here, if he will say Pesach Pasuach, without Eidim, or if he says that I saw that she was Mizana but there are no Eidim, she does not become forbidden. That was the kasha of the Maksha. So that's a pretty incredible Kiddush. No? What's the Kiddush of this kasha of the Gemara according to Tosus? The Havamin of the Gemara is that Znus, in order to create an Isra, Isha Labama, Eishas Isha Zinsa, requires Eidus Lekimadam. That's unbelievable. You require Eidus Lekimadam. Even if it's not conjecture at all, even if the husband mamish sees Ra Adam Shizim Seishto, she does not become forbidden because Ein Davar Sherapachos Mishnayim. It's unbelievable. And what's the teretz of the Gemara? That's absolutely not true. There's no requirement of Eidus Lekimadam to render a woman forbidden to her husband because of Eishas Ishas Insa. And the Gemara says, no. Right? Sota, Kinui still requires Eidim. But an Eishas Ishas Insa does not require Eidus Lekimadavar. And therefore, even Pesach Pasuach is considered to be Kishnei Eidim Dami. That's a very great Chiddush that also says, the Shat Levatari of the Gemara was the requirement of Eidus Lekiyama Davar in order to render an Eishas Inshas Insa forbidden to her husband. Well, it's unbelievable. If you look in the Rashba, if you look in the Ritva, there cannot be that this is the Havamin of the Gemara. Ritva begins by quoting the Rashi. What does that mean? That an Eishas Shazinsa is Neseres al pi atzmo, that the husband has a right to forbid. That's the kasha. Of course the husband has a right to forbid. You need Eidus, how can that be? Ritva writes, V'loni hira, mi'ika mandamar, sheroes ishto kishinizana shetei muteres lo. Would anyone maintain that that's true? But the language of the Ritva is very powerful. He writes, V'chi Eidim asrile ve'eidim sharola. Whether she is forbidden or permitted to her husband is a function of Eidus. Of course not. Right? Ein osras elabiyasa. The maisavera, the biyas those there. You're certainly not required as the kiyamadavar. That was the havanin of the Gemara. How can a husband forbid his wife? You need edim. So how else do you read the Gemara? Yes, the Ritva writes very differently. Ritva has one word. Va'amar Rabbi Elazar, ein ha'ish neseres al bala b'shum safek ela iska kino yistir. Ritva just has one word. Safek. If there wouldn't be any safek at all, it would be absolute bada. The husband sees ashes in some. Such a case, of course she is forbidden to her husband. Even in Havamina there was no need whatsoever. But here, what are we talking about? Here, all we're speaking about is the latest Hasafek. Pesach Pesuch Matzasi. He does not know definitely at all that she violated any Yisr whatsoever. That's the Kash of the Gemara. Where do you see that Misafek, a husband can render his wife forbidden unless it's Sota, unless it's Ayudei Kina Vistira? When it comes to the case of Sota, Enochinami, there, a Safek Sota is forbidden to her husband. Even though Enochinami, all it is Midin Safek, but Enochinami, that was preceded by Kinui, Stira, Raglaim Ladavar. But where do you see without those Raglaim Ladavar that the woman is forbidden to her husband based on Safek and Safek alone? That's the Kash of the Gemara. If it was Vadai, of course she would be Neseres Abala. And what's the Teretz of the Gemara? That no, if Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, we don't consider that to be a Safek. Right? That's considered to be Kishneidim Dami. That's the Teretz of the Gemara. This Havamin of Gemara, this Chiddush, right, the Tosus raises the possibility of Edus Lukiyam Adavar, right, regarding Eishas Eishas Insa. This, of course, ties in directly with what we discussed at the very beginning of the year. When is it that you require Edus Lukiyam Adavar? So very quickly, the Gemara tells us in Kedushin of Samachem and Beis that there are two different types of Edus. The Gemara has, when it comes to Dinei Mamanos, the Gemara's phrase, Lo Ivra Sade El Shakri. What is the purpose of Edus? Simply to prevent Sheker. That's a very powerful statement of the Gemara. It means the Edom will not make or break the Chiyuv. If I lend you money, you owe me the money irrespective of whether Edom are present or whether they are not. The whole institution of Edim is to prevent Sheker. If there are no Edim, I'll say Lohayed Rami Olam. And you're going to be hard-pressed to be able to prove your case if there were no Edim. Yet the Gemara says the name of Rav, what about Hamakadish Be'ed Echa? If you have Kedushin, and there is a single Eid which is there, but Shneim Odim, but the Chassan and Kala agree that there was a Maisa Kedushin. Ein Choshesh in the Kedushin? So what's the great Kiddush? That you see black and white in the Gemara. The rule of Edus when it comes to Kiddushin, their rule is not simply El Shakre. That if the husband and wife want to deny that it occurred, Edom will come forward and say, we were there and you're married? No, even if they agree, it's not considered to be legitimate Kiddushin. That's the concept of Edus L'Kiyam Adam. There's a lengthy piece that Ktzos has, that Ktzos has found at the beginning of Simon Reish Mem Aleph, for the Tzos is bothered by the following. On the one hand, the Gemara makes this incredible distinction between Mamon, Lo Ivra Sari El Shakre, as opposed to Gittin Kedushin, that Ein Choshesh in the Kedushin. And what's the source of Ein Dover Shor Pachos Mishnayim? There's a Pasuk. No, the whole Makar is Dover Dover Mi Mamon. That's the Tzos' difficulty, no? On the one hand, you're telling me these are two completely different institutions of Edus. Edus Levira Davar, Edus Lekima Davar. And how do you know you require Edus Lekima Davar? How do you know that that's true? Because the Pasuk says Yakum Davar when it comes to Mamon. And when it comes to Parsha of Gerish, and the Pasuk says Ervas Davar, Davar Davar Mi Mamon. So it's pretty incredible. The whole Makor of Edus for Gittin and Kedushin comes from Mamon. At the same time, the Gemara tells us that these are completely different types of Edus. A very great Kiddush. But so suggests, take a look. right? They're pretty powerful teretz. That maybe in principle, maybe even in dinim amanos, there should be a role of egus lekima davar. Except there's a concept of a hodos baldin kemedim dami. In Gittin and Kedushin, let's assume there's a hodah. So the husband admits that he married her. The wife admits that there was a maisa Kedushin. What are you going to say? Hodos baldin kemedim dami. The Gemara raises that kashin Kedushin asamachain. Why isn't there hodos baldin when it comes to case of Gittin and Kedushin? You know what the answer to the Gemara is. Hodos baldin, we discussed that. There's a parsha of Nemonos, the Kedos and Simulam Adalid, but only Beino Ben Atzmo. Only Latzmo, but not Lagabe Acherim. To say that this woman is Nashis Ish, that the Gemara calls Chav Lachrine. That affects everyone. She's Nashis Ish, that means she's Asur Lachli Alma. There's no concept of Hodos baldin when it comes to Davar Sheberva, because it's Chav Lachrine. But Tzos writes the following Chiddush. Then when it comes to Dini Mamanot, say Nafinami, if there would be Hodos Baldin, you would be Neman. And that's what the Tzos writes, his Lashitase, that this is based on what I formulated in Simon Lamed Aleph. Hodos Baldin is not a new Hischaivus, but that's real Nemanos. So of course there's no actual need for Eidos Lekima Davar in practical terms, because Hodos Baldin is comparable to Eidos Lekima Davar. That's the Nemanos of Piyuzer. It's only when it comes to cases of Davar Sheberv where the Hodos Baldin will not function because it's Chav Lachrine, then you require Eidos Lekima Davar. That's the Chiddush that Tzos writes. That in principle, one could envision a role of Eidos Lekima Davar in Dina Manos as well, but in practice it's not necessary because the Torah says Hodos Baldin is Kmeinim Dami. When it comes to Gittin and Kedushin where you don't have the Kihuzev Hodos Baldin, in such a case then, the process, the Maisa Kedushin, the Maisa Gerushin, has to be done in the presence of Eidim. That's the Ktosis Kashin Tenetz. So we discussed at great length regarding which halachos do we apply this concept of Ein Davar Sheba'erba Pachos Mishnayim. So we pointed out that especially according to the Rambam Shita, there are many cases that affect a Davar Sheba'erba that do not require Eidos Lekima Davar. We raise the Tosus and Kedushin and Daf Yabez Mabez, whether Yibam requires Eidos Lekima Davar. Now, we pointed out that it was somewhat unclear how to read that Tosus. The Shara Melech assumed in Tosus that Yibam absolutely requires Eidos Lekima Davar, and the Gaon and Ebenezer and Kuf Samach Vav assumed that Yibam does not require Eidos Lekima Davar. Pointed out Mufurish Yitzhivas Arashba, Yibam does not require Eidos Lekima Davar. The Rambam, in Perek Beis of Hilchos Yibum, who discusses the details of Yibum, never mentions any need for Eidos. That was the deal of the Mishnah Melech in Perek Beis Halacha Daled. No need for Eidos Lekima Davar in the case of Yibum. So why should that be? Is Yibum a Chalos Davar Sheberva? Absolutely. As a result of Yibum, she becomes an Ish Ish. Now she's Nezana, she's Cheves Misa. Before Yibum, it's Nisr Lav, she was not. So certainly it's a chalos davar sheba'erva. Why should there be no need for cases of Eidos Lekima Davar? So that was the chiddush that Rav Chaim developed in Perek Dal Halacha Tes Zayin Hilchos Yibum, that this Rambam is also clear in the Machlokes, the Rambam and Muki Yosef regarding Chalitza. Does Chalitza require Eidos Lekima Davar? So the Rambam writes now. The Rambam writes that if you do Chalitza beino ubeino, if chalitz is done with no one else present other than the two of them, in such a case, the Rambam writes, that is not absolutely nothing. That is what the Rambam calls a chalitza psula. Rav Chaim just demonstrates chalitza psula means, according to the Rambam, that that's relevant midaraisa. It's just that man yade, how are you going to be able to substantiate, to affirm that the maisa chalitza was in fact done? And this is against the Nemukei Yosef, who writes that absolutely not true, that a chalitza done beino beino is absolutely nothing. Zero. Nothing whatsoever. So Rav Chaim explains the following machlokes. Chalitz and Yibum are classic examples of a chalos davar sheberva, but as the Mishnah Melech pointed out in Beis Dalit, it doesn't require das. Yibum is afilu b'shogeg, afilu ba'ones. That's the Mishnah Yivamos in Daf Nun Gimel. So Reb Chaim suggested the following chiddush, that when is it that you require edus l'kiyum adonai? That's only when you need das davar shaver avon. You saw so many examples of that. Bitul atnai, and nisuin, and shlichus, where the Rambam does not require edus l'kiyum adonai, even though that act creates the chalos davar shaver avon. What about the view of Mukhe Yosef? Pashav Shan Mukhe Yosef will argue as follows. The truth, you don't require das davar shaver avon, but any act that you do that impacts, that's a chalos davar shaver avon, in such a case, that requires edus l'kiyum adonai. What about our case? Eishes ishes inside. So this is what we discussed in last week's shiur. Now that chiddush of the Rambam, that even though pitui ktana onesu, yeah, but if you're dealing with the ktana, who, right, there's an eishes ishes inside, she does so ratzon, she becomes a surah haba. Ayek ktana's lav bas das. So what was the chiddush of the Rambam? Eishes ishes insa, asural habal, does not require das whatsoever. That will be true even of a ketana, against the kasha of Tosis. There's no das davar shaber that's required in any shape or form. No? So according to the Rambam, very simply, right, there is no need whatsoever for edus l'kiyum adonai when it comes to eishes ishes insa. You'll require edus l'birur hadavar in order to impose an onish of misa. How do we know that she's an eishes ishes insa? So as far as the onish misa is concerned, you need eidus levir hadavar, but eidus lekiyum hadavar, but to create the chalos that she is an eishes ishes insa, still he doesn't require. That's the maskanas of Gemara, let's say according to Tosus, and according to Ritva, the Gemara even has such a habamina. Obviously that's true. Even without that distinction of das versus chalos, one could now mention the chiddush of the kovetz aras that we just saw last week as well in Siman Ayin Vav. Even if you assume that ein davar shapachos mishnayim has nothing at all to do with das, it means a chalos davar shaberva requires einus lekiyum adavar. Chalos, not das. But one could still distinguish, right? And that's the two different types of chalos that Rabbi Chanan described at length. No? There is a chalos that you control, that you create, and there is a chalos where although you do the particular maisa, the chalos is b'me'elav. In Gittin and Kedushin, you create the chalos. In Shechita, you do the maisa Shechita, the chalos is b'me'elav. So one could argue as follows. Even if one would relate that no, that it is the kimadavar, is not a function of das davar shaberva, a function of chalos davar shaberva, but benet vermamurim, when that chalos is something that you can control, that you can create, mashen kenef achatzal chalos, which is bami atzmo, bami elav, something that you have no control whatsoever, there's no need. It is the kimadavar. One could then distinguish, for example. No? The Rambam said you don't need Eidus L'kiyum HaDavar, right, for Yibum, or for Chalitza, or for Shlichus, or the Diyuk of the Marcheshus for Nisuin, or for Bitul HaTnai. No? One could be Mechalek. No? When it comes to cases like Bitul HaTnai, or Shlichus, or Nisuin, maybe one could argue there you do have some say over the Chalos. Certainly in the case of Shlichus you do. Is it the Mina Shlichus? And you have no control over the Chalos? Of course not. Or Bitzel HaTnai. You certainly have a right to regulate the Chatzos. In such a case, that requires Eidim. Mashenkin in cases of Chalitza. Rabbi Chanan suggested there's a Maisa Chalitza. Even a Ketana could do Chalitza. At Machokos Ramein Nachamim, whether there's a Posset that says not, but the chalos is completely b'me elav, not b'me atzmo. So one could argue that ein davar shapachos mishnayim is halach of das. One could argue it's halach in chalos, but only a chalos that you control, that you create, not a chalos which is b'me elav. So when it comes, for example, to znus, The fact that an Eishes Eishes Insa is Asur Labal. So you create that Chalos Isser? Certainly not. The Torah says the fact, Eishes Eishes Insa, automatically that creates an Isser Labal. So in such a case, there's no need whatsoever. Freitas Lekila Dover. The Hava Min of the Gemara in requiring, right, one could argue again, is it impacts, it's a Chalos. What is the Maskana? Either no, it's a function of das, like the Rambam Shita, or that no, it's a function of chalos, but the med ramamurim, the chalos, where you're the bala chalos, like shlichus, or like tnai, or like gittin kedushin mekach memkar, those cases. One could raise, however, the following issue. How do you understand, let's say, the maskana sa gemara, according to the Nemuke Yosef? The Nemuke Yosef writes that chalitza requires Eidus Lekiyum HaDavar. Chalitza without Eidim is zero. It's nothing. It's not even a Chalitza Psula. Chalitza was Rabbi Chanan's example of a Chalos which is absolutely Bameila. Not only does it not require Das, but you have no control over the Chalos whatsoever. Chalitza can't be done al-yay shliach. Chalitza you cannot make lachar zman. It can't be done al-yay tnai. According to Muke Yosef, the distinction is a much finer one. That znus does not require edus lekiyum hadavar, but chalitza does. Chalitza is a chalos davar sheberva, and even though the chalos is bameilav, it is the kima davar is necessary. Hashem came when it comes to znus. Why should that be so? Why is it? Right, the maskana sa gemara that there is no need for this kima davar when it comes to eishesim shesimsa. The chora one has to argue according to Muke Yosef just simply the following chiddush: the fact that an eishes eishesimsa is asur labam, that chalos isim. L'chora, that is the absolute function of the Bias Isser. Is it coincidental that the woman was Mizaneh? The woman violated Gili Arayos? The woman was Neishas Ishas Insa? And incidentally, she becomes Asur Al Habal? Toshu Shad Muke Yosef would argue, no, that's the single halacha. That the Isser Labala is Noveya, directly results from the Srebiya, from the Gili Arayos, from the Maisa Avera. Let's assume, for example, we discussed earlier. We were discussing Shit Rabbeinu Tam, the Chubas Marik, Umala Malba Isha. The breach of Ishus results in Isser Labal. So if that's true, if the whole Mechayim, what is triggering this to the Baal is simply the Bias Isser, the Gili Arayos, Mal Ba'isha. So in such a case, Nimuk Yosef would argue, so obviously, there's no need for Eidus Lekiyum HaDavar. A woman is Mizana without anyone seeing it whatsoever. Good. So obviously, there's Nisr Kares. There's a Isser Misa, right? There won't be Misa that says Eidim and Hasra, but the Isser of Eishes Eishes Insa, she's violated. So Enoch and Ami, it's true when you have a chalos davar shebe'erva. That also requires Eidus Lekiyum HaDavar. But here, where the Isser Labal is directly a function of the Mais HaVeira, in such a case, right, very clearly, that there, if the Mais HaVeira is violated, she becomes Isser Labal. Not any afraid, it's the kimmat of whatsoever. But according to Muke Yosef, he understands very well. It's also the havamin of the Gemara. If every chalos davar shebever requires Eidus Lekiyum HaDavar, even though you have absolutely no control over that particular chalos, you could have envisioned that that should be true when it comes to even a case of Eishes Eishes Insa. So we mentioned the Chiddush of the Ritva. Ritva who writes, unlike Tosas, that it cannot be that the Gemara really meant to assume that the Baal is unable to create any Yisr, even if Mamashi sees the act of Znus with his own eyes, cannot be. Ritvar writes, it means the following, Safek, that Ein Yishen Asheres Misum Safek, Al Yiskei Kinu Isdira. And here, isn't it just a Safek? Don't you see that it's possible for a woman to become forbidden to her husband, but Torah Safek? Isn't that exactly what the case of Sota is? So that's exactly what Rabbi Elazar says, that no. That's uniquely true. It's Zeres HaKasuv. When do we assume that Safek is Asrul HaBal? That's only Al Yedei Kinui Yisira. Without Kinui Yisira, that's not true. Reb Chaim points out, this is the Reb Chaim Hilchos Yibam in Perek Vav Halacha Yates, that the Chiddush of Sota, that as a result of Kinu Yisira, the woman is Asura HaBaal, this Gzeres HaKasuv of Sota, Reb Chaim writes of Al Karcha, Gzeres HaKasuv Shel Kinu Yihu Betarti. It's a twofold Chiddush. This whole Parshas HaSota Ayidei Kinu Yisira. Chiddush number one, Reb Chaim writes, simply, the fact that we even consider it to be a suffix, that itself is a chiddush. Why do we say that this is a suffix? That perhaps she's an Ashes Ishes Insa, and as a result, Hashka is necessary. Why should it even be a suffix? What do we know? All we know is this woman violated in Isra of Yichud. No? What's the halach of Yichud? So the Gemara writes, Reb Chaim quotes in Kedushin, Daf Pei Aleph, the Gemara says that Malkana HaYichud, but the Ein Osrna HaYichud. Let's assume, for example, it's absolutely clear that this woman violated Isra of Yichud. So that's terrible. Yichud al Eishas Isha Barayos is Osr. We discuss at length. When is the Nisad Daraisa, Nisad Rabbana? Kli Yosir. But the Gemara is Ein Osr al Yichud. What does that mean? Yichud alone does not even create the Leidas HaSafek of Znus. So Chiddush number one of Sota is we assume that even though all we know is that there was a violation of Yichud, Al Pidin, already there's a Safek that perhaps she was an Ashes Ishes Insa? That's Chiddush number one. What's Chiddush number two of Sota? You have a woman who's a Safek Sota. So what's the halacha? Tumah Ksiva Karayos. She's a Asura HaBaal. Safek is Kavadai. And there's an Isra HaBaal until she'll be proven innocent. Through Hashkara. It also is a great Chiddush, no? As we've been discussing. Good, you have a Safek. But Ari b'cheskasa. A woman has a cheskas hefter, a cheskas hadin, that she is muteras al habao. So there's a double Chiddush in the Parsha of Sota. Chiddush number one is that we treat it as a Safek. And we don't just simply say, good. What does Yichud have to do with Eishas Eishas Insa? Chiddush number two is even if there is a Leidas HaSafek, so what do you do with the Leidas HaSafek? Tumah Ksiv BaKarayos. That there's an Isser B'Torah Zvandai. That itself is considered to be the Chiddush. This is the basis of what Reb Chaim writes to explain the following Chiddush of the Rambam. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Yom HaChalitza, Perek Vav, Halacha Yates, the following. Let's assume you have a Sota Vada. Einim, come forward. This is an Eishes Eishes Insa. And all of a sudden, the husband dies. And there are no children. So there's no Yibum. There's no chalitza. Tumah ktsiva karayos. There's no yibum. There's no chalitza. And the same thing applies when it comes to sarasa. Let's assume you have a man who has several wives, and one of them is an eshes eshes imsa. So if he dies, not only is there yibum or chalitza to that wife, who is eshes eshes imsa, but there's no yibum or chalitza to any of the wives. This is the concept of saras erva. Two brothers marry two sisters. There's no yibum or chalitza. Let's assume, for example, the deceased brother has other wives as well, and the surviving brother is not related to those other wives. That's just an isra of eshesach. Eshesach, of course. Yibum is dochen. No. Saras erva, the first mission, yivamos. So the Rambam writes the same thing applies when it comes to sota vadai. Tumah ktsiva ka'arayos, no yibum, no chalitza, to her or to the saras erva. Okay, that's clear. Then the Rambam writes the pretty incredible chiddush. What happens in a case of sota shemeis bala kodem shiashkena mehamarim? Let's assume you have suffix sota. There's kinui, there's stira, and now the husband dies before hashka. Suffix sota. So what do you do in the case of suffix sota? So the Rambam writes, choletzes. You can't have yibum because maybe she's a sota vadi. In such a case, tumah ktsiva karayos. So therefore, chalitza is necessary. Chalitza is necessary. And what about sarasa? So here the Rambam writes incredibly, haisa lot sara, harei sarasa muteres, the chalitza is omisya bemes. Well, the tzara, you can even do yibum. You can even do yibum. That Reb Chaim points out, tzarach yim gadol, no? Normally when you have a case of suffering, so what does it mean? You're machmer for every eventuality. Maybe eshes and shezinsa, maybe not. So if maybe not, you'd be able to do yibum. But if maybe yes, tumah ktsiva karayos, no yibum, no chalitza. So how do you deal with those two possibilities? Choletzes, and it is yabemes. Here the Rambam writes a pretty incredible chiddush. That in the case of the suffix sota, sarasa mis yabemes. There's yibum. The ptur tsaros is only in sota vadai, not in the case of sota suffix. Take a look. That's what Reb Chaim discusses in Paragraph. See, why is this so relevant? Because if you're going to argue that Mikar Hadin, Safek Sota, is an absolute Safek, and therefore the Sveik Adaraisa would dictate that you have to be Machran whatever would be a result of Vadai Zinsa, and whatever would be a result of those Zinsa Klal, then whatever is true of the Sota Vada is going to be true of the Sota Safek. Any Yisr Yibum will apply to Sota Safek. Towards Saros, be Safek. After all, you're dealing with an Yisr Meshasach. Now the Vada will be a Mamzer. The fact that that's not the case apparently is a clear indicator that even in the case of Sota Safek, this should not be a Safek at all. No? After all you know is they violated Yichud. And also know how Yichud. And even if you'll tell me here there was Raglaim Ladavar, that maybe there's more. Yeah, but Harib Echezkasa. It shouldn't even be a Safek. That Pashur Pshat is the Chiddush of the Rambam. Even when you have the whole Parsha of Sota, it does not mean that this is an absolute suffix of Eishas Eishas Insa. It just means when it comes to a certain set of halachos, as we'll see, how the psukim unfold, a suffix sota is a sur alaba, And perhaps that suffix is only limited to the Baal or the Yavam. It doesn't apply to Saros. But it's not an absolute suffix kivadai that because it was Raglaim Ladav, we must assume L'chumra that she was Nashis Nashis Insa. You see, that's not true. You see, in Sota Vadai Poteris Sarasa, in the case of Sota Suffix, Sarasa Misya Bemis. That would be a Nisra of Ashes Af with Vlad Mamzer. So take a look at that Chiddush Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim points out, right, that it's not just simply that a Suffix Sota is the normal halach of Suffix where, right, one must assume the Chumra that she is a Vadai Ashes Ishes Insa. Or, for example, Rav Chaim quotes a sugi in Sota, Daf Chaf Hei, a great Kiddush. Machlokas Rav Elazar and Chachamim, whether Mechila works, La'achar Stira. Let's assume there was Kinui and Stira. Good? And all of a sudden now, the husband has a change of heart. He doesn't want his wife to go through the whole process of Hashka. Can he be Mochel, the Kinui and Stira? Unbelievable. If you're going to tell me that kinui and stira mamish means that there is a suffix that she's an ashes ishes insa, how in the world does that meet on the mechila? A husband has a wife, rachman l'slam, she's a vari ashes ishes insa, he could be mochel, of course not. But if you're telling me mikar hadin, we shouldn't even treat this as a suffix. It's just that kinui and stira is an independent oser. Then now one can raise the issue. If that is an oser because of the kveda d'baal, because the kinui and stira, does he have a right to retract the kinui and stira? Or if mikra hadin, she's not a sefek ishes ishes insa, but kinui and stira creates nisra habal, one can raise a very legitimate question: does that apply to tzaros? No. Or maybe kinyan stira is only within the woman herself, but doesn't extend to the kohen. Now, from these indications of the Rambam, you see clearly that it's not just simply what we would assume at first glance, that this is a suffix ishes ishes insa. Therefore, whatever is true of an ishes ishes insa b'taras vadai is true here b'taras suffix. This is very relevant to, right, the shakla v'tari of our Gemara. Our Gemara is so troubled. That's how the Ritva understands the Gemara. How in the world is it possible for a husband to create in Easter, because of Pesach Pasuach, all that is suffix, and you never find that a woman be forbidden to her husband to suffix unless it's Adya Kini and Stira? Even this further, great Kiddush the Rambam. And even kinui and stira is not that suffix is kevadai. That's a completely separate halacha that despite the fact that suffix is not kevadai, and we don't assume that she's an ashes ishes insa, nonetheless, it's an independent oser. Kinui and stira requires hashkah. And how in the world can you extend that to the hunch that this husband has as a result of Pesach Pasuach? Well, that's a very different understanding of the Gemara than just simply that suffix is kevadai only all day kinui and stira. Without that, not even in kinui and stira, that certainly is not the case. So take a look, right, at this piece in Reb Chaim. We'll go through the details, right, in Perek Vav Hilchos Yom HaChalitza, right, then we'll continue with the Sugya of Testimonies.